Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It is Tuesday night. It is time for Anything Goes. I'm sitting on the top of the world because my guest tonight is the lovely and talented Ava Pasco. Hi there.
Hi, Bennett.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you, and I'm happy to be on your show.
Good. So, I'm going to ask a very simple question because I get this question from all sorts of writers. I mean, they usually do 5,000 words and 10,000 words and 20,000 words and proclaim it loudly on Facebook in bigger
fonts. I see that.
I'm sorry?
I said, I see that.
I get away with a column, maybe two. How much do you think you should write, or how much have you written a day?
Per day. I feel I'm lucky if I produce 100 to 200 words per day. Some days it's 50, but if I can say I think I've nailed it, I feel good. I'm not as productive because, like everyone else, you know, there's other agenda in our day. Writing my novel isn't the only thing I write during the week. I write a weekly blog. Occasionally, I like to do a modern memoir. But basically, I'm too tired to produce more than what I do.
Oh, God, do I know that well. That's why when somebody asked me, when is my book, My Sick Life, coming out, and I said, December, they said, that's too late. But that's beside the point. So tell me about your 1960s memoir, who people have been telling me is a great book.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Basically, well, you know how it is. When I first published a novel, it was important to stay in the public eye. You know, what did I know? So I started writing my first 60s memoir, submitted it to the 60s official site, and he liked it and asked if I'd like to contribute more, so I did. And I ended up retrieving memoirs from my childhood and adolescence, and I ended up with 100 of them. And I felt it was a good thing for me to do, not so much even for the publicity I was trying to get, but I thought it preserved the legacy of my father, who passed away when I was 15 and my sister was 8.
Okay. You still there?
And basically, yes, and basically these memoirs talk about the daily minutiae of life. You know, even though I do cite happenings such as the Vietnam War and how it affected us, they're not the be-all, end-all. Basically, I tie in, you know, the daily minutiae of life, going to school, doing your homework, setting my hair on brush rollers, the things that we did.
Brush rollers? Oh, my God.
Oh yeah.
Now I'm feeling old. I remember those.
Oh, yeah.
I had cousins that did brush rollers. Oh, my God.
You could either sleep on them.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm like, God.
I know it. You could either sleep on them overnight, which I did once in a while, or you could go out in public with a kerchief over your head, as many did, or sit, you know, put the brush rollers in it, and if you had time, sit under one of those bonnet hair dryers.
Yes, years ago, I remember my mother doing that. Oh, my God, with the... And she didn't sleep on it, but she had a kerchief over her head. And I stupidly was young, and I'm not going to say how old, and said, Mom, why are you wearing a kerchief over your head? Never mind.
But you'd see other people out in public, so you didn't look strange because other people did it too.
Oh. So a 1960 site gave you the idea, right?
Well, I came across it, and I said, I'm going to submit a memoir, and I did. My first one was called A Mini Tribute to Twiggy, and that's when I got the invitation to write more, and I actually, for 2 years, you know, sustained writing 100 of them, and then when I was running out of things, I then started writing what I call my retro essays about the 60s. So I did a slew of those, too.
And they're all, you're saying about 100 essays in the book?
No, they're not essays. There are 100 memoirs in the book that are specifically about things, you know, that happened to myself, my sister, my family. A lot of, a sense of humor. I call it semi-sentimental recollections. You know, lots of humor, some serious, just the truth.
By the way, I'm going to tell you this, and I don't want you to get offended. I love your Rhode Island accent.
Oh, my God. Didn't I put that? I can't help it. I never hear it, of course.
I'm saying it as a compliment. Don't hit me.
I'm not.
I love it. It's beautiful. I'm sitting here and going, yeah, it's like music to my ears.
You know, we wouldn't we park the car. those R's are overrated.
Oh, I know. But to me, the thrill was, I have friends in Boston. Now, you have like two or three accents in Boston, but I have a friend in Rhode Island. I'm not making fun of him, but he was from Rhode Island and would do it the odds like you did. And I'm like, oh, God, I loved it.
You know, even if I try to make a conscious effort, I'll say, well, that's not how I speak. I'm just going to speak the way I do, and I don't hear my accent, of course.
Well, I take this as a compliment. I think it's a beautiful accent. It's like music to my ears.
Thank you.
Tell me about the book you're working on.
Okay, now that has been... Well, I got the idea from Facebook. There was a post where someone posed the question, if you knew that your best friend's significant other was cheating on you, would you want to know? So I took that premise to spin my own story. And, you know, it goes into a little darkness, which I like to do in my contemporary fiction. And so that's where I'm pivoting from. I've written 25 chapters so far. Like you, I'm not going to know when it will be ready to be published because I'm not going to rush it. It took me almost 9 years to write An Enlightening Quiche. That was the second major novel I had published, you know, due to life's detours and hairpin turns, but I feel it turned out the way I wanted it to.
Okay. Do you find, you said you read about 100 words a day, or 50 to 100 words a day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find it quality words, or when it edits,
yes,
it's better?
Yes, I do. Yes, in fact, my process is, now when I go back into the document, I will go back to reread what I've written and then fortify it, you know, tweak it, take some things out, put some things in. I feel it's fermented for me. I have that ongoing process, and I'm generally very pleased by the time I move on. Now, it doesn't mean I'm completely satisfied because I'm very, I'd say, anal about writing. You know, I'll edit the entire piece several times before I'm satisfied. But, you know, every word is important to me. I don't take any word frivolously.
Let me ask you a question. I'm not trying to be funny, but do you consider yourself a writer or just a penman, just somebody who writes?
No, I feel I'm a writer, definitely.
And why is that?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I feel it's the gift I've been given because I cannot draw for beans. I can't sing. I'm not mechanically inclined. So this is my thing.
Don't get me wrong. I don't want your husband, boyfriend, or whatever to kill me, but I love you. You're great.
Oh, thanks.
I don't ever feel my
writing is superb or anything. I mean, I have, you know, like most writers, you have your doubts, you have your moments of triumph. You know, I'm no different than anyone else.
I believe me, I do understand. But what I always find amazing is to find a writer similar. It's like, this is my adopted sister.
I feel good about it, too, because I say, my God, what am I doing wrong that I can't produce more than I am? I mean, even if I had the time, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, after, I always say, you know, after so many words, maybe I could get to 500, at the most 1,000. Let's say I had several hours at my disposal during the day. You know, I feel I start slurring my words like a drunk might, because your mind just isn't, you're getting tired, whether you realize it or not.
Okay, do you start with an idea, or do you start with an outline, or do you start with a skeleton, or you just hunt and pick?
That's what I do. I fly by the skin of my teeth and the seat of my pants. I have an idea, and wherever it takes me, it does. No outline, nothing written down.
Do you find it you're creative, more creative that way, or just less creative that way?
Oh, no, I feel I'm more creative because I'm not hampered. You know, the story eventually just, like, I'll be doing something that's not even related to writing, and I'll say, oh, that would be good to tie in. And I just love that whole process.
And I want you to, by the way, before I forget, I want you to give a shout-out to your posse, your friends, who are your backbone.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I'd be remiss if I did not mention five other people in my, we call ourselves the Indie Fabs. I feel they're my support posse with writing, processes, and life in general. They are Aaliyah Del Rey, Renee Gauthier, J.B. Richards, Aral Shanti, and Joanne Van Leerdam. Hi there. Thank you, Bennett.
Hey, anytime. You got to understand, I have a posse, too. Some of them are no longer with us because in the beginning they were my biggest support. We used to send them via email, and they used to say, yeah, but you should have said this instead of that, you know. And I listened. Didn't correct it always, but I listened, so I understand. A posse is the most important thing in the world.
Yes.
What do you think about writers who do have posses like yourself?
I really feel they offer incentive, and they give you the courage to go on because, you know, the pitfalls that can beset one from day to day, they really are encouraging. And I would say that everyone should find their posse.
Have you written with any of them or just... They've just supported
yes.
you.
Yes, we have. We have an anthology called Once Upon a Fabulous Time, and it's in the genre of fantasy, but it's also magical realism. We're very proud of that.
And is it available on Amazon, or where is it?
Yes. Yes, it is available on Amazon. Once Upon a Fabulous Time.
And what other books are you have written? Because I want my audience or our audience to know what you're out there
all right.
writing and all.
Okay. The very first novel I wrote was based on my own midlife restlessness and my obsession with fragrance. I'm one of those fragrance or perfume aficionados, and it's called Underlying Notes. I've written An Enlightening Quiche, which is one of the books that I promote, and 100 Wild Mushrooms, Memoirs of the 60s,
yes.
My nonfiction memoir collection.
Go ahead. Anything else I should know about if I'm going shopping on Amazon for gifts?
The authors that I mentioned in my posse, any one of them are wonderful authors for you to investigate. That's what I'll say. They have different genres, yeah.
So you told us about your lovely memoir. Are you playing a sequel to it?
Oh, no, no. When I do what I call my modern memoir, I just publish them singly on Author's Den. That's where I have my web page, and I'm fond of saying everything I've ever written in my life practically is on there. My essays about the 60s, my modern memoirs, because I pulled all the other memoirs that are in my book off when I published. I have my Rhode Island essays, what else, my blogs, my book reviews. So that basically is me in a nutshell over there.
But you've written some Rhode Island essays. What are you going to do with them?
Oh, nothing. They just up there.
You're doing a book.
No, I'm not going to put them in a book. They're just up there. If anybody that wants to look at them, no. I probably would not have put the memoirs in a book form. One of the members in my posse suggested that I do so. And keeping my grandnephew in mind, I said, well, that would be something nice for him to have. He'd have a detailed account of, you know, family recollection. So I did it. Otherwise, it wouldn't have dawned on me to do it.
Has he read it?
Well, he's too young for that. He has his own copy, and he's, who I dedicated it to. But in a year or two, he'll be able to appreciate it more.
Okay. Yeah, I just hope he doesn't do what one of my family said. That crazy uncle I have, you know, no, I don't need to hear that, but you know what I'm saying.
No, I don't. I think he'd appreciate it.
What do you think of other people writing their memoirs? And I don't mean celebrities like Michael J. Fox or somebody, but other people writing their memoirs.
I think it's fantastic. Some people probably really have something of significance to share with the world. You know, they might be have gone through something that someone else has, and, you know, reading a book gives them a better perspective in life. So I think that's a wonderful idea.
Okay. What writing tips do you have? I know, I'm not trying to dwell on the ground, but what writing tips do you have starting out?
Basically, to
the beginning writer, should they read more? Should they write more? Should they think more?
Well, I've always been under the assumption that most writers have been avid readers, because that automatically teaches you intrinsically syntax, sentence structure, flow. So I do feel reading is an important part of becoming a better writer. And then my other advice is basically don't try to listen to everybody. You know, do what you think.
Do you find any book or books you'd recommend? Not just on writing, but books somebody should read before they start writing.
Well, there are many books. I would hate to single out one at the expense of someone else's wonderful book, because part of my ambition as an indie author is to read as many books written by other indies as I can and write a review. So I've read and reviewed many, many wonderful books.
Okay. What are, other than your posse, what authors do you enjoy?
All right. I enjoy books besides those written by the members of my posse, because I've read everything they've written. I like the author Jesse Frankel. You might have seen him on Facebook. He's such a prolific writer. His primary genre is young adult, bordering into sci-fi. He's a wonderful writer. Julia Blake, who writes contemporary fantasy. She just has an eclectic mix. I'm currently reading The Conflict by Tricia J. Kelly. I love reading crime novels or anything with mystery. So those are just a couple.
Oh, if you like crime novels, we have a good one a guest coming up you might love. But I don't want to be rude and surprise you with it, so I'm going to say it anyway. So that way somebody is like, say it. I have a lot of friends that are authors. And when they say, oh, say it instead of doing this, Jennifer Chase is coming July 9th.
Ah.
And if you haven't read Jennifer Chase, oh, God, she's and Yvonne Mason July 2nd. So it's like, yeah, those two alone, I'm like, yeah.
Wow.
And I'm not trying to put the feather in my hat, but, yeah, they are good. And, of course, these shows are archived, so please catch up. Give them the names of your policy again, because they need to. They have so many wonderful books, and I've looked at your Facebook page, and they're there, and they need to get the exposure, and I think you should tell them the names of your posse again, your compadres,
Gladly.
Your posse, whatever you want to call it.
All right, we have Aaliyah Del Rey, whose specialty is paranormal romance, Renee Gauthier, mystery thriller, and she's doing a superhero series, J.B. Richards. She's written a wonderful historical fiction, and she's branched out into fantasy. Arl Shanti has done has written an epic series in sci-fi, and she's also done romance. Joanne Van Leerdam is a poet, and she's branched out marvelously into writing horror. So, you know, those are some shout-outs to my posse. And my favorite genre to write in is that of contemporary women's fiction that I call Lit with Grit.
Let me ask you a question. Is there any genre you have wanted to try and haven't done so yet?
Well, I'm not into the, I can't say, maybe just straightforward romance. Maybe it's just straightforward romance, but I'm not above trying it. In fact, I think I've ordered some books that are in my TBR list. You know, I really appreciate a book for its storyline, character development, you know, the well-crafted sentence. So, you know, I can't even say that maybe my least preferred genre would be something that I would, you know, turn my nose up at. So I'm open to anything.
And what's your latest books you have upcoming?
Well, I'll give the title. It's called Ida's Fishing Ground. And, of course, it's going to have more than one meaning, as my book titles do. They have multi-meanings.
And when is that being released?
Oh, boy. wouldn't it be nice if it could
be? I know.
Wouldn't it be nice if it's this year?
The little mouse
that
is
would be
climbing
nice.
Up my shoulder and going, it's going to take time. Okay.
Yeah, hickory dickory dock, right.
Hickory dickory dock.
Oh, boy. I'd like to say this year, but I won't force it. I will never rush anything because then it's too late. You know, it's out there, and I think you do a disservice to a reader. So, no, it's got to be the best I can possibly make it. It won't be perfect, but the best I could do.
Is there any, personally, not just your posse, but is there personally any author you like, you think needs a little more push?
Yes, I'm going to say, a little more publicity. I have a great poet friend named Cindy J. Smith. Her poems are just very resonating. She has a gift.
I wish she'd come do my show in October.
Ah, well, I'll give her a nudge.
If she's listening, I would like Cindy J. Smith to come down from the mountain in October and do the show. But that's beside the point. I'm not pushing.
I'll put a feather in her cap.
Put a feather on her cap, yeah. I read her poems. She is really good.
Yes, she is.
Can I say that without sounding like I'm a fan?
I know she'd be very appreciative.
I just got a message from online. Guy says, but we know you're a fanboy, Bennett. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Harry. Okay. In the chat room, he's very nice. Yeah, right. Okay. But we have 5 minutes left. Is there anything else you'd like to wrap up for the afternoon?
Well, of course, I'd like to, you know, encourage people to give my books a try, An Enlightening Quiche, Underlying Notes, or 100 Wild Mushrooms, Memoirs of the 60s. That would be nice. And Once Upon a Fabulous Time, my contribution is the fairy tale, which is contemporary, Mr. Wizardo. It's a take on The Wizard of Oz, of course, but totally, totally different.
Okay, let me also, people are just messaged me and somebody says, what else do you have this month? Well, on the 16th, April Parmalee will be my guest. On the 23rd, Dina Remmel returns to Anything Goes with a plum and a passion. I love Dina, but don't tell nobody. And on the 30th, Kathleen Ty Ball is going to ride in and scoop me away for a half an hour on the show. So that'll be amazing. Elizabeth Black is coming. Oh, God, she's coming. She's coming. And we're getting from the Walking Dead podcast, Casey Bird. So, oh, God. So it'll be... God, we got guests coming out of our ears. E.S. Tilton is doing her first podcast interview with this show. So I am very, very, very happy.
Well, I'm grateful
and,
I was a part of it.
Thank you. This is my pleasure. I just want to make sure because people are asking me, who's coming up? And Jan Breland is coming up. Oh, God, I love Jan. She writes children's, but she will amaze you. As I said before, Jennifer Case is coming. Oh, with a new book she has coming out in July, so it'll be really nice. And so, before I forget, I wanted to also say, somebody asked me, is Sarah okay? Well, I talked to Sarah because she does the legal show on Thursdays. I talked to Sarah a few days ago, and she wasn't feeling fully up to snuff. I'm not saying we're canceling Thursday's show. It depends on how Sarah is feeling. And so you guys who tell me, is she coming? I don't know. We'll play it by ear. I want her healthy, and I'm not just going to force her to do a show for the sake of doing a show. Okay? She is my partner on the legal show. I love her dearly as my friend, and so basically, if she can't do it, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to fight. It's not something to fight about because Sarah is worth, her legal expertise is wonderful, and I want her to do as many legal shows as possible. I will say this, though, on the weekend, the week of Passover, that's the 18th and the 19th, Sarah and I will be off for Passover, for the Seder. As I said, next 16th, April Parmalee will be my guest, sitting in the hot seat, just like Ava did. Any final words, my dear Ava?
Once again, I want to thank you very much for being part of the show and part of such an impressive lineup. Thank you.
When are you coming back? We don't know. We'll talk about it later.
Okay, I'd love to. Thank you so much.
Hey, closer to the new book, when the new book comes, right?
All right, and I'm not going to forget. If you don't hear from me for a while, it means
I'm
still
not,
writing.
Hey, I know
I'll pop a note.
The trenches, writing the books and everything else. So it'll be a lot of fun. And you can always come back anytime you want to sit in and co-host with me anytime you want.
Oh, boy. Those would be big shoes to fill in.
When friends come on the show and they're not sitting in the hot seat, but they have questions, ask them. I'd love it. It'd be my pleasure.
All right. And I am going to PM Cindy.
PM Cindy. I would love to see her in October.
All righty. I'll mention that.
That sounds so suggestive, but that's beside the point. Ladies and gentlemen, good night. Be well. Fly right. And if
good
I know we're
good
a week
night,
to Passover, so happy Passover, happy Easter. I want to make sure I get them both in. And good night.
Good night.